coming up on episode 383 of the YLP podcast. It's just a normal Saturday here in the YLP realm, relaxation, all that good stuff, even though I'm dealing with a goddamn snowstorm as of this recording. But hey, we ball regardless. But yes, we are coming back to y'all with a new episode, brand new episode, brand new week, and that means a brand new episode of the news of the week. And what do we happen to have on the docket this week? We got a good amount of stuff to be discussing this week, including, of course, Mercedes Moné finally making her AEW debut this past Wednesday. And the masses went bananas for the CEO of AEW. We're going to be discussing how she felt in terms of the women in AEW laid the foundation. And she says, they're the reason I want to be in AEW. Also, Tony Khan breaks down the glass spot. We know which glass spot we're talking about. We ain't got to put it out there. I don't have to describe it. That occurred at AEW Revolution last Sunday. We'll hear about his thoughts, and I'll give you my thoughts in terms of the spot as well. Also, we got a few new names that are going to be joining the ranks of the WWE Hall of Fame. And there are some names on here that either I was surprised about or had a moment of just, who? We're going to talk about all that. Plus the remainder of the news of the week. And trust me, I got some doozies. Not saying there's going to be a rant or anything this week going down to the DMs. But you know what? There just might be one depending on how things go. Other than that, guys, y'all know what time it is. Y'all know what day it is. This is episode 383 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin. What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling Relations Podcast here. Welcome to episode 383 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday. And I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, March 16th, 2024. Hope you guys had a fantastic week. Hope it was as best a week as you could make it. And if not, that's all right. We have the weekend to recuperate and get ourselves right for the upcoming week ahead. Because I believe in y'all. And I love you. Yes, but it is a Saturday, March 16th, 2024. Well, at the time of this recording, we are dealing with a very big snowstorm at the moment. Since I'm breaking the fourth wall, tis Thursday as of this recording right now, but for y'all, it is Saturday, so just run with it, just nod your heads in approval, and we keep it pushing. But yes, if you are in the state of Colorado right now, or anywhere around in the surrounding states, just so y'all know, we are dealing with a very, very big snowstorm out here right now. From what I've been reading, the biggest snowstorm in quite some time in the state of Colorado, especially in the Denver area. So I guess it's an honor to be involved in it, I guess. But yes, it has been pretty much snowing since late Wednesday night. And it will be going on until at least early Friday morning. So if you are within the sound of my voice, well, by the time you hear this, the snowstorm will have ended. But at least for the particular moment, make sure you guys are safe out there. I don't want y'all doing anything crazy out there. Don't be doing no skirt, no type things out there. You know what I mean? Let's just hunker down, be safe, all that good stuff. And yes, hopefully, as far as I know, the kids were out of school today. And as far as I know from a source of mine, they'll be out of school tomorrow, which technically Friday, which is, would be yesterday for you guys as listening to this. Don't worry about it. Just know it's Saturday. Nonetheless, though, we are here. We're gathered here today to discuss, of course, a brand spanking new episode of the News of the Week, the show that discusses all the news that's fit for yours truly to talk about. Of course, I am your host, Mr. YLP himself. Excuse me. I had to get upset about that water. Make me lose my breath. Make me water. Anyway, of course, I'll give you all the particulars about social media and all that stuff. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns about today's episode or any of the other 382 episodes of the YLP podcast, of course, do not hesitate to hit your boy up with a nice little voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective. And of course, you can find hit me up in a nice little email if you so choose over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. Of course, I'll give you guys the rest of the particulars at the end of today's episode. But we need to get into the news. English hard, apparently. Sorry, I'm just trying to get my Zenny glasses out. What's up, by the way? I would say Zenny is a very good place. This is not sponsored, by the way. Good place to get you some nice little glasses on the cheap. I carry a pair. I actually have blue light blockers on mine, so that way if I'm doing work on the computer, on my laptop or whatever, or if I'm on my phone, I don't get tired over time. And I actually should bring these to work with me. But I don't want the rest of the world to know that I am as distinguished as I possibly can, of course, being the one and only Mr. YLP himself. Nonetheless, we got news to talk about. Big news, for the most part. Of course, let's kick off this week's episode by discussing one Miss Mercedes Moné, the new CEO, technically, of AEW. Not really, that's Tony Khan shit, but you get the point. But let us head over to WrestleZone.com to see what the fuss is all about. With Mercedes Moné saying, "The women here laid the foundation. They're the reason I want to be in AEW." This is all, of course, by Matt Black. Mercedes Moné is the talk of the wrestling world after making her All Elite Wrestling debut last night, technically this past Wednesday, at AEW Dynamite Big Business. I'll say my bits for the end of the article here. All Elite Wrestling star Mercedes Moné recently spoke with Justin Barrazzo of Sports Illustrated. When asked about signing with the company, Moné put over the women's division as the reason she's now All Elite, saying, quote, "I want to be here. I need to be here. And it's because of the women's division. The women here laid the foundation. They're the reason I want to be in AEW. We're going to make so much magic here." Mercedes also stated that one of the reasons she chose All Elite Wrestling was her ability to take things global, as she would be able to compete in places like New Japan and Stardom while contracted by the company. She goes on to say, quote, "This is a global revolution. That's why I'm here. You don't think I can take this around the globe? Well then, let me show you I can. My heart is here. My dreams are here. I love wrestling. I'm a leader, and I'm going to lead," end quote. Moné kicked off AEW Dynamite Big Business on Wednesday, much like CM Punk opened AEW Rampage the First Dance. The former WWE superstar felt she needed to open the show, saying, quote, "Fuck yeah, I needed to open the show. All day, I was so full of energy. 10 minutes before the show, I was in Gorilla. I could feel the energy in the building when my music hit. I felt the energy, and I knew I was home. And I've honestly been thinking about what I wanted to say for the past year. When I finally signed with AEW, I put even more thought into it. I decided to speak from my heart. That's what I did. And the crowd made it so special for me. Everything started in Boston. I wouldn't be the CEO if it wasn't for my time here," end quote. Now, we knew for some time that Mercedes Moné was going to make her way to AEW. A lot of people, and for some odd effing reason, there was hate amongst the WWE buffoons, of course. It'd be like that sometimes on the social medias and the X's and the, oh boy. Okay. Hold on. Lost an article. Jesus. F my life. There we go. Okay. I know which one that is. My apologies. Technical difficulties. Anyway, no, we knew for quite some time that Mercedes Moné was going to make her way to AEW. We knew this from jump. We knew this for some time, and it was just like, yeah, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, in essence. And I believe if my mom serves me correctly, I actually praised the move for Mercedes to leave WWE and go to AEW. At the time she was leaving, she was dealing with some nonsense, and I discussed it then when that actually happened, when she left WWE after the whole bullshit with the Women's Tag Team Championship, her second reign, by the way, not the first. The first one we don't talk about here because that was a BS reign, and I had a whole spiel about that many moons ago. If y'all want to check that out, of course, you can check out all the other episodes of the podcast. podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Meanwhile, Mercedes leaving WWE, going to AEW, just made all the sense in the world to a lot of people, myself included. And I know the people online are talking about, oh, blah, 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 she's not going to make it outside WWE. I'm like, y'all are bugging. Y'all are absolutely bugging because Mercedes Moné is a hell of a talent. Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, whatever you want to call her now, right? You don't play with talent. Add to the fact the hard work and the work she put in to get to where she is, I'd say Mercedes Moné is one of the better talents on this planet. Let's not get it twisted. And trust me, there's a lot of good women's talent in this planet that we live in called Earth, okay? And I'd say she's one of the best as we speak right now. Of course, becoming the former NJP, I believe. Yeah, she was competing to become the inaugural NJPW Strong Openweight Women's Champion. Never happened, though, because she had an ankle injury, and I think she would have carried that very, very well. And, of course, we had that that dream match taken from us, unfortunately, of Mercedes Moné versus Julia, given the fact that they're now going to be in separate promotions. As far as we know, Julia is still making her way to WWE, but things could change, as we all know. And we'll discuss that point a little bit later on in this particular part of the episode. I think it was the right call for her to go, not only leave WWE, but for her to be well-traveled around the world. I mean, she competed for the IWP, GP Women's Championship. That was crazy. For her to be a part of NJPW, her competing for the IWGP Women's Championship, winning said IWGP Women's Championship, and just making it big. It wasn't a long reign. We know it wasn't a long reign. We knew she was going to be leaving for AEW eventually. But for her to go outside of the WWE bubble and actually win gold outside in the bubble in one of the top promotions in the world, regardless of what you think about Strong Style Wrestling and NJPW, yeah, she made it her own. She gave herself a whole new thing, Mercedes Moné, and it did well. She's done well for herself so far outside of WWE. Never. And this is to the IWC buffoons, not the rest of y'all. Y'all are all right. The goons, the knotheads, you know what I'm talking about. You got to watch the product. You got to watch what takes place first before you start to speak. I bided my time. Now, mind you, when she left WWE, I felt, and I still believe, that she had every right to just be like, you know what, if this is how we're going to go with it, I'm good about. I can't blame her for that. That's bad booking on Vince McMahon's part. I'm not going to put that on Triple H. Triple H wasn't around for that bit yet, okay? He was still running NXT and shutting shit down. That was all Vince. But her being part of all of that, it just made sense. It just made sense to me because you got to think about it, bruv. Again, Mercedes Moné is one of the best in the world. Not like the Chris Jericho promos, I am the best in the world at what I do, but she is damn good. And anywhere she was going to land, it would make all the sense in the world for her to go. But the fact that she's going to AEW, as I stated in the article, does give her a little bit more flexibility to be able to actually still work with New Japan Strong, go over to Tokyo, and maybe rock a Tokyo Dome match one of these days. Possibly work with Stardom again, which is more than likely going to be a thing in the future. That's why she went to AEW for the main. That's the main part. Also, adding that the women's division is starting to look pretty damn good over there too. I mean, at the top, you got what, Storm, Perrazzo, Britt Baker still there, Thunder Rosa, Anna Jay, Sky Blue. But y'all know the memes. We seen it. And you know what? Let's. I'm actually gonna go do something I haven't really done in a while. Because I want to look at the AEW women's roster. I want to see who they got over there. I know they got plenty of talent, but like, think of the matches we're going to have with Mercedes Moné on the roster now. Okay? It's going to be fun. This is courtesy, of course, as always, from the SmackDown Hotel, because that's usually the site I use to when I do, you know, booking things or looking up stuff when I want to do, if I ever want to think about doing an article anywhere in the near future. But there's plenty of talent on the women's side of things in AEW. Okay, of course, you got ROH and all that good stuff, too. So let's rock with, you know, Mercedes Moné, like, someone versus. I haven't done this one probably ever. Excuse me. But just think about some of the matches we're going to be getting in AEW, possibly, with Mercedes Moné. Mercedes Moné versus Athena. Mm-hmm. Tis a thing. Mercedes Moné versus Deonna Purrazzo. Y'all know y'all want that. Don't act like you do. Not. All right. The one that everybody and their grandma been talking about, Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Okay. You think I'm still playing? Okay. Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida. Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart. Actually, if I know correctly, she actually attacked Julia Hart after her match with Widow Nightingale, I believe, on this past Wednesday on Dynamite. Who's to say we can't get a Mercedes Moné Mariah Mage on? A nice little jump off. Mercedes Moné versus Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Moné versus Nyla Rose. Versus Queen Aminata. Red Velvet. Ruby Soho. Saraya. I don't think we've seen that one in a hot minute. Mercedes Moné versus Serena Deeb. Mercedes Moné versus Taya Valkyrie. Anyone? Bueller. Mercedes Moné versus Thunder Rosa. Versus Toni Storm, which is a money match. Versus Willow Nightingale. I think for a majority of these, we as fans of wrestling, not even just fans as just fans of AEW as a whole, just professional wrestling period. If you're going to tell me there's going to be some event where I was going to see Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné, you bet your bottom fucking dollar I'm going to go out of my way to see that, John. Her and Britt Baker. Taya Valkyrie would be a banger. Serena Deeb, banger. Saraya, banger. Soho, banger. Nyla Rose would be an absolute banger. Her and Mercedes Martinez would go insane. Her and Chris Statlander would rock. Jamie Hayter is one match everybody and their grandmama have been wanting to see from what I've seen on the Twitters and whatnot. Her and Deonna Purrazzo, her and Athena. Like, there's so many opportunities. So that's not to say she ain't gonna put on bangers. Because she is. And that's the best part about it. And probably more like her first feud is going to be against Julia Hart. Not a bad way to go off. And especially with the CBS Championship on the line, that might be a thang for the thang. If you know what I'm saying, you feel me? But my thing is this. I'm happy she's in AEW. I'm happy that she's, you know, doing for herself. Giving herself the opportunity and creating opportunities for herself. Now, I haven't really seen the promo yet, but I know she shouted out Eddie Guerrero big time because that's like her biggest like idol. That is her idol in terms of professional wrestling. So, and some people give her shit for that, and I don't because I love me some Eddie Guerrero. And some people, I've seen this on Twitter. I thought like I saw this on Twitter. I forget how it actually was worded, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But pretty much like if you're going to talk smack about Eddie Guerrero or Selena, you better be willing and able to die on that hill because you ain't going to make it. Just going to put that out there. Take with that information what you will. That's what I was reading. But my thing is, when all is said and done, Mercedes Moné just adds value to the women's division in AEW. You can't knock that. You wish you could, but you can't. Mercedes Moné adds talent. She's a former IWGP Women's Champion, former 7-time World Champion, as it was displayed. On there, she's also, you know, she's competed for the open, you know, NJPW open, you know, women's championship, women's strong women's championship. My apologies, English hard. At the end of the day, Moné versus whoever you put in front of her is going to make waves. If it's her and Julia Hart for her first feud and she takes the TBS championship, so be it. I ain't gonna be mad at that. Some people will, I will not. Y'all know why. But you got to think of the bigger picture. We can't just be, yeah, you could be in the moment with it, but you got to know when that moment has passed. Everybody's going to have their reaction, of course. It's crazy. Mercedes Moné, you know, is never going to prosper outside of WWE. She did that already. And now she's going to do, I think she's going to do quite well for herself in AEW. It would be foolish to think otherwise. It really would. I already listed who is on the AEW women's roster. That will, like, think of it all in between Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné, bruv. Come on. You tell me you don't want that? You tell me you don't want that match. Okay. Then do you. But we gotta know. We gotta understand. AEW's women's division is getting a bit better. It has been for quite some time. I mean, granted, you know, I got that little 2 3/4 join from Dave Meltzer, which I really don't care about. I thought it was a solid match nonetheless. If y'all want to check that out, check out my review. I believe episode, I think it was last week. Last week or the week before that. Make sure you check that out, though. After, of course, you listen to this episode. But with me, Mercedes Moné is just going to be just fine in AEW. It's a big signing for AEW, and from what I also heard, she's been under contract with AEW for quite some time. So it wasn't like we already knew it wasn't going to be going down. We knew this. She's in AEW now. She did the debut in Boston, which, of course, red herring like a motherfucker. Knowing that, yeah. Oh, we're in Boston? Oh, wait, that's where Mercedes is from? She's from that area? Yeah. She brings value to the division. You're going to have banger matches for her in the ring against whoever you decide to put across from it. It is going to be fun. It's going to make Double or Nothing's better. It's going to make Forbidden Doors go crazy. Especially if we had still had, if she never got injured and she still was holding the NJPW Strong Women's Championship. Wait, no. Well, that's 70 Vaqueras now, actually, because Julia held it and she lost to 70 Vaquer. Since Julia's probably going to WWE. So, yeah, she can compete for that again somewhere down the line. You know, if it is for the CBS Championship, I don't think they'll put her in Ring of Honor because some people will say that's quite disrespectful. But a belt is a belt nonetheless. They just really haven't done much with the Ring of Honor Women's Championship. It kind of irks me a little bit for them not to do that. And I really don't know what's going on with the Athena Nyla Rose join. I don't know how that's working out. But nonetheless, I'm gonna end it like this, and we'll move on with the articles. Mercedes Moné brings value to the division. She's going to have great matches, great feuds. The talent in the division is getting better. And you can pretty much have she's appreciative of what the division was prior to her showing up. And oh, I forgot, Mercedes Moné versus Rio would also slap real fucking quick. Because they both tiny. We're not going to get into that. We ain't got time for SpongeBob jokes. My opinion, my thing is just, she's going to cook in AEW. And Tony Khan is going to make sure she cooks in AEW. And I'm sure the ladies there in AEW already, AEW Ring of Honor, whoever you want to call it, I'm sure they're happy to have her there as well. Because I'm sure there's some people in that division that would want to work with her. You don't think Toni Storm wants to work with Mercedes? That would be fire. You don't think Deonna wants to work with Mercedes? Britt Baker? That one, the Britt Baker, Mercedes Moné itself. It's just one of those matches where you're just like, I need to see that. Because, of course, there's kind of been, I'm not saying beef, but it's kind of been like people talking about like, yeah, Britt Baker, Mercedes, Britt Baker, Mercedes Moné, my slap. And it will. And, of course, everybody was talking about, Mercedes and Jamie Hayter. That one's going to be bananas. And now that they're both in the same division, yeah, bro, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy, bro. It's going to go crazy. That's crazy. I'm just saying, man, Mercedes Moné and AEW is money. Oh, my apologies. Moné. 100%. But let us move on, as I ended with the dad joke. We head over to WrestlingNews.co. Some people in WWE didn't think. Wait, some people in WWE think Triple H didn't realize Will Ospreay's promo ability. Under that, it says he's on another level. This is, of course, from Andrew Ravens. Following his AEW debut, many people, including those in WWE, believe Triple H missed out by not signing Will Ospreay. Spoiler, he did. He totally missed out, but we'll get to that in a little bit. The top star had interest from plenty of promotions for bidding for his services, including WWE, AEW, and TNA, which basically is like the entirety of North American wrestling top three. He opted to sign with AEW. An announcement was made official at Full Gear in November with him starting full-time at AEW Revolution. In his debut match, he went over Kyle Fletcher and will now meet Bryan Danielson at Dynasty next month. That shit is nuts, bro. I mean, your first three matches are against Takeshita, your teammate in the United Empire, which I don't believe is any, which I think has dissolved, which is quite a shame, and Kyle Fletcher. And your third match in AEW is going to be Bryan freaking Danielson. While speaking with Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer recapped Ospreay's promo on Wednesday's Dynamite, noting he heard from people who felt Triple H didn't consider Ospreay a promo guy, but rather a really good wrestler. Ospreay has been knocked in the past for cursing a lot in his promos. Unfortunately, he's not wrong. Anyway, going on saying, quote, I hope that's not true. I'll look at that in a second. He started just a couple of weeks ago. 10 days ago, actually, right? 11 days ago, whatever it is. 10 days ago. And he's, like, getting this kind of reaction. And yeah, I know people in WWE, when this was going down, it was becoming very clear that he was going to AEW and not WWE. They offered a lot less money. They mean WWE. And I know people were, that were going, like, he didn't realize. They didn't realize. He being Triple H and they being WWE. They knew. But he just didn't realize. He just thought he's just one of those great workers. But this guy has a chance to be. We'll see. As far as the complete package, there's very few people, you know, as far as the complete total package. Ospreay's a good promo. And you can tell in his voice. You can tell that heart in his voice, that feeling in his voice when he officially became All Elite at Full Gear. Of course, competing at All In last summer, you know, it was, I did read an article earlier today, actually. Will Ospreay was talking about, you know, if he had gone with WWE, he would have to move pretty much to the United States, but AEW gave him the flexibility to still be able to live in England. Of course, living with one Alex Windsor. It's a possibility, yeah, Davenport and Will Ospreay are no more, just so you guys know, just in case y'all didn't know. Okay, and also, Miro and fucking CJ Perry divorce after 7 years of marriage, so that was a wild one when we finally heard that. And of course, we were in the Discord talking about it, not to go on a tangent or anything about this here, but of course, if you want to join the Discord, head over to, I don't know if it's x.com or twitter.com, doesn't matter, go over to Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Go over to @addict_wrestle. There's a link tree. Look, click on that thing right there. Shows all like the podcasts and all that good stuff, merch, everything like that. There's a Discord invite. Click on that piece. Our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, will welcome you with open arms, fill you in on the details, and of course, you know, juice cookies and all the, you know, the wonderful snacks and the wonderful spread that we usually have here at Wrestle Addict Radio, and of course in the YOP realm. We get downs with the get downs. You join us with the you join us in Discord. Got a little Discord over there. We talk wrestling, all that stuff. Every once in a while, we'll stream pay-per-views and we watch them together, have a conversation, chat, all that fun shit. It is a good time over there. But we were talking about it in the Discord, Miro and CJ Perry, and we were just like, what the fuck? Even TMZ reported on it, and it was buck wild. I'm like, that's crazy, bruv. But yes, yes, he's with Alex Windsor. Okay, calm down. If you didn't know the news, now you know. Okay. Moving on, though. And going back to Will Ospreay. I think what I say Triple H kind of missed the mark. I don't blame him for not understanding how much of a promo guy he wasn't. Because as Dave Meltzer did say, you know, Mans, you know, was cursing a lot in his promos. I understand it. He was in the indies. Okay? You gotta get away with a little bit more. And then you can with it like an AEW or a WWE. Okay? Can we acknowledge that at least once? Got it? Good. Okay, moving on. But now you can tell in his promos, he sounded a lot more like, yeah, I'm in AEW, but I ain't no bitch type of thing. And would I say Triple H missed out? Probably. You can make a good case for it, 100%. I can't knock Triple H for not fully understanding the entire package of, well, that is Will Ospreay. I can't. You know, he saw him as a really, really good worker. And not the good hand that Cody Rhodes was talking about with Sean Spears. But now they're back with the same promotion. I'll leave that for another time. But but I can understand from Triple H's point of view, just seeing him as just a worker and not so much a promo guy. Because let's be honest, when he was in New Japan, yeah, he did promos, but maybe it was not the cup of tea that, you know, WWE was looking for. Dang, free agency news is crazy in the NFL. I promise you that. I'm just seeing notification after notification. Anyway, that's beside the point. Ospreay, now that WWE sees the entire package that Ospreay is now, I think it could be safe. I'm sure some will be saying, yeah, Triple H missed the boat on Will Ospreay. We could say that. We could say that with 100% confidence that, yes, he missed the boat. But also, you know, I mean, there's other particulars that come into it, too. It's not just, oh, Triple H missed the mark. They didn't see what we saw. They didn't believe in what we believed in him and all that, all the things. Okay, let's just not get that whole fucking thing twisted. When it comes down to it, if there are people that believe Triple H missed the mark, I wouldn't knock that person for it. Do I think Triple H did miss out on Will Ospreay? Abso-fucking-lutely. Because think of the matches you could have had in WWE. I ain't gonna list them. I can just give you know. Real ones know, okay? Let's just make sure we're all on the same page with that. You know. If Will Ospreay went to WWE, you knew. A, he was not going through NXT, and B, main roster ready already. Regardless of what brand he went on to. But now we're seeing the full package of Will Ospreay, and you can make that case that, yeah, Triple H missed out. Triple H didn't fully see what was going on. He didn't understand the entire package of Ospreay, regardless. It's a big move. It was a big move, and I mean, regardless of where he was going to go, he was going to make a big wave in whatever promotion, whether it be TNA, AEW, WWE. I don't think, at least part of me didn't think for much that he was going to go to WWE. I don't think that was like, I mean, it's a separate style from WWE. That's not to say Triple H doesn't give you leniency in terms of what you can do, but I think AEW gives him a little bit more flexibility. And as we saw at AEW Revolution last Sunday, I think he's going to be just fine. Him and Takeshita was a banger. Early top 10 match of the year candidate for yours truly, which is why it was my match of the night, because it was a straight up banger. 100%, you know, grade A certified banger. I just think Triple H will probably kick himself in the ass a couple times for that one. It's like, I didn't get the guy. But you know what? Their WWE is going to be just fine. AEW is going to be just fine. And professional wrestling fans, we are going to be just fine. The cards are where they need to be. The chips fell where they needed to. We rock regardless. Ospreay and AEW, I think, is a better fit than he would be in WWE. It's not to say if he went to WWE, he wouldn't fit well there, because it would have been fucking just riches. But I think for what Ospreay wants to do and how Ospreay wants to kind of like go about his lifestyle, I think AEW gives him that flexibility to still be able to work, to still be able to live in England while not having, while working for the company. My apologies, I got a little new thing going on, so bear with me if you will. They'll be just fine. We're good. Ospreay and AEW made sense. It made sense to me, and he's shown it so far with his matches against Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher, and of course, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay. Anywhere you could have put that in a bingo hall, and that thing would have sold out in about 5 minutes. Next time, put that in Ball Arena, though, as I live in Colorado, so holla at your boy. But yeah, we're going to be just fine. Triple H did miss out, but, you know, he's still fine. It happens all the time. I mean, I'm sure he tried to get Mercedes Moné back. Didn't work. They tried to get Okada. Okada went to AEW. It comes with the territory of this shit, all right? So that's how that... So it bees what it bees. It is what it is. But let's move on to our last bit of news and this half of episode 383 of the YLB podcast as we head over to WrestleTalk.com. I've been watching a lot of their shit as of late. If you ever watched the Three Count series, that shit is fucking hilarious. I go back and watch that every single once in a while and all that stuff. But we're going to discuss the one spot that happened in the main event of Revolution. You know that spot. We're going to talk about it right now. Tony Khan addresses Darby Allin glass spot at AEW Revolution. Who wrote this joint, by the way? Who wrote this shit? They don't give him spot? Okay. Nonetheless, AEW president Tony Khan has addressed the Darby Allin glass spot from AEW Revolution and the safety precautions put into it. Darby took part in a rather scary-looking bump at Revolution during Sting's last match against the Young Bucks, where he leapt off a ladder to the outside and threw a pane of glass. Spot of the year so far, and I'm just putting that out there. The spot saw a lot of criticism online, with many fans questioning the safety of the spot. Speaking to DV Insider, Tony Khan spoke about the controversial spot and the safety measures put into place to ensure it was done safely. He said, quote, excuse me, it has to be something safe. Whenever a wrestler comes in and wants to try something, especially dangerous, I just want to know that there is a safe way to do it. Darby Allin, every time he has ever had an idea for a wild high spot or a crazy move, he has had a rationale and a plan. Darby doesn't take these things lightly. Nobody would have attempted the amount of crazy, wild, death-defying stunts Darby has done in his tenure and made it this far unless they are a methodical, organized planner. In Darby's case, he is fanatical about finding a way to pull off the impossible and do these incredible, seemingly death-defying stunts. He always finds a safe way to pull them off. He always has a rationale for why he is able to do it. That's what impresses me, the way Darby plans his matches and his biggest moves. As we know, Darby faced off against Jay White at Big Business this past Wednesday before leaving to climb Mount Everest at the end of the month. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mans is going to Mount Everest. That's crazy. 100% crazy, bro. I didn't even know that. I thought it was some shit that Jay Dwight was talking about. I thought that was kayfabe. No, he's going, okay. And that is Darby Allin as in a whole. He's a spontaneous boy. But the way Tony Khan explained this is probably the best way to explain something like this. You know what I'm saying? If there's a safe way to do it, Darby will do it. If he doesn't think there is one, he's not going to do it. Think about all the crazy spots. I can't even think of them all. You know what I'm saying? Darby Allin's done a lot of crazy stuff. And the pain and going through that pane of glass at Revolution was just one of those crazy wild high spots. But again, they already had a plan in place for what was going to happen if Darby wasn't able to continue in that match. So not only did he make sure there was a safe way to pull off this move, but there was also a plan in place just in case Darby could not continue. Basically what was going to happen was, if Darby could not continue in that matchup, the Young Bucks were pretty much going to win the tag team titles anyway, and they were going to figure out the story from there. Even though we did discuss last week on the last week's episode of the podcast that pretty much this was already planned from jump. That Sting and Darby Allin were going to retain the World Tag Team Championships, and Sting was going to go out as a champion. You know what I'm saying? I would rather make sure, especially if I'm Tony Khan, like you said, if he pretty much pulls up the impossible and has a safe way to pull them off and always has a rationale and you know all that stuff and plans it out to a T to where I can fully understand it and just be like, okay, as long as we have another plan in place to keep the match going and moving forward, then yeah, we'll be just fine. We can do that. And of course, they planned the stunt along in advance, of course, already had a plan in place. They already knew exactly what was going to happen should Darby not continue. And they did it right. And still, it worked out. I marked out. We all marked out. If you didn't pop for that, you're lying to yourself. Regardless of how you pop, whether it be negative or positive, I love the spot personally. I thought Mans was crazy, but then again, it's Darby Allin. He's always going to do some crazy shit like this. So far be it from me, to not believe that this was just him. And mind you, he's going to climb Mount Everest at the end of this month. That's fucking crazy. And not in a bad way. I'm just like, that's Darby. So he's just like, yeah, I'm going to finish off my 3-year, storyline with Sting, have a banger, more likely what was a banger with Jay White. And then I'm going to go climb Mount Everest in the end of March. That cool? Yeah? Alright, cool. I'll see y'all. I'll see y'all in like April. I'll see y'all for Double or Nothing or some shit like that. And honestly, let's give the man his flowers, bruv. Because let's give the man his flowers. He went on the storyline with Sting at a time where, yes, he was still a pillar of AEW, but I don't think, at least at the time, at least with me, he wasn't like of the four pillars of AEW, of course, Jack Perry, Sammy Guevara, And then Darby Allin and MJF. MJF, of course, always to me was world champion material, and I believe he would be the first world champion out of the four before any of the other guys. I figured Darby Allin was going to be a big one. I thought Sammy Guevara was going to be a big one, minus the suspensions and all that other goofy shit. And Jack Perry's now over doing the New Japan Cup. So not all bad, you know, as Tony Schiavone said at Spring Stampede 98 after Bobby Heenan said Nuggets, thumbs down at the time, mind you, it was 98, Nuggets were kind of trash. 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Okay? But yes, man, I mean, kudos to Tony Khan for repping his boy and even saying, like, you know, he had the rationale, he had the plan, and Darby didn't take this lightly. He did not take that spot lightly, and that's a bump. That was a bump. Because, again, as I always say on here, man, y'all ain't gonna pay me enough to take that spot. You know this as well as I do. There's a lot of spot. If I ever learned how to properly take a bump, I mean, being 36 now, it might hurt a little bit more than normal for if I was like 23 or something like that. But, you know, I take a bump, a couple bumps, take a clothesline, maybe take a comfort job. Who knows? But for that, I'm good. And that's why my respect for professional wrestling has no bounds, because it's just like, in terms of spots, you couldn't pay me enough to take that spot. And that's why the respect I have for Darby Allin for taking those spots, it went big time. Amazing. 100-fold for the respect I have for Darby Allin for not only taking that spot, but taking that spot in his last match with Sting. And now, since he's done with that storyline, and he's really got nothing planned for the future, at least from what we saw, Mance is going to go off to Mount Everest and try to attempt to climb Mount Everest. So, good luck to you, Mr. Allin, and in your pursuit of climbing Mount Everest. I hope you are safe. From what I've heard, many stories about climbing Mount Everest, sometimes you die. But I think for Darby Allin, this is just kind of a rush for him. And I wish him nothing but the best in his attempt to climb Mount Everest. Good luck there, Pimpin'. And hope we hear the tale and how dope it was and how much of an experience it was for you. Because I would love to see that podcast, 100%. Anyway, that's going to conclude our first half of news of the week this week. When we come back, more news. I ain't gotta worry about that news. There was other news that I had. Just let me find a tab. I don't know why we're pressing buttons. There we go. Yes, I got a little bit more news before we go. Of course, I would love to tell you what I have on the docket for the second half, but you know what? I'm gonna keep that close to the chest. But make sure you stick around and come back on the other side of episode 383 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 383 of the YLP podcast. And before we get into the second half of the news of the week, it would be foolish of me to not shout out my squadron, my peoples, the brand of the brand, the best of the very rest, the cream of the crop, the squadron over at WrestleAdded Radio. It would be foolish of me not to shout out their podcast, because every Tuesday, make sure you check out the Brace for Impact podcast. Nate the effing great, the host of the show, takes you through the yesteryears of TNA. You know, when TNA was actually, you know, six sides of Earth thing, and not Hogan and Dixie'd out before him. Nonetheless, if you love the yesteryears of TNA just like I do, and going back and actually checking it out, check out this podcast. Nate the effing great, of course, the former MCW World Heavyweight Champion, the Banana God himself, is your Sherpa, is your guy through the yesteryears, and I believe he's on the Main Event Mafia bit portion of TNA's history, so if that was your bag, check that out ASAP. But Wednesday nights, end your Wednesdays the proper way, with the Kings of the Rings podcast, hosted by, of course, our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, Will Terror Shook, and the legend that is K motherfucking Fade, with the soon to be World Tag Team Champions Frankie Tortellini and Boris. They're freaking adorable. Especially Boris. but yes, they talk about sports entertainment, professional wrestling as a whole, pop culture, all that stuff. I've been on the show once before, of course, in the beginning of the year, the first episode of 2024, and it was my honor to be on that show, and I hope to be on that show in the future. It was a great time. Did the first game, first question game, all that stuff. It was a good time to be over there, and I hope to be there sometime in the near future. I want to be there for WrestleMania. I don't care. Book me. Book me. but of course, if you don't catch it live on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 if you're in a mountain time zone like myself, you can check out the audio version of the podcast every single Thursday when it drops on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, until April 2nd, of course, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Fridays, kick off the weekend in proper fashion with the Fretzelmania podcast, hosted by, of course, our esteemed neighbor to the north, the Traeger God himself, the man who makes my mouth water when I see his Instagram, and he has meats on the Traeger. Pause. And it is just fantastically glorious. He discusses now he's into the Ruthless Aggression era of WWE, one of my two favorite eras of WWE because I grew up in those eras, so you can just deal with that how you want to. but if you love the Ruthless Aggression era, this is your bag, this is your show, and he does a fantastic job bringing us through the weekly jaunts that was the Ruthless Aggression era. And then, of course, Saturday, you got your boy, yours truly, the YLP Realm Master, the man that has been chosen as the Stephen A. Smith of Wrestle Addict Radio, the one, the only, Mr. YLP himself. You can check out the YLP podcast every single Saturday because it's Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Let us get back into the news of the week as we head over to Fightful.com. This article just, when I even saw the headline, I was just trying very, very hard to just be like, nah, fam, I'm good. Nonetheless, though, let us get into it. Jonathan Chin. I'm kind of waiting for my invite to WrestleMania 40. This is from Jeremy Lambert. John Cena still needs an invitation. John Cena has been a staple of WrestleMania for 20 years, headlining the event 5 times in his career. Cena competed at WrestleMania 39, losing to Austin Theory in the first match on the show. Literally the first match of the weekend, and that shit was trash. Anyway, as of now, his WrestleMania 40 future is unclear. He's saying when he was on the Drew Barrymore show, when asked if he would be at WrestleMania 40, he said, quote, I'm kind of waiting for my invite. Unfortunately, it's like I don't have a prom date, so I have no one to go to prom with. I haven't been asked to go yet. That's okay. That's all right. I have not yet found a golden ticket in my chocolate bar, so I guess I have to keep eating chocolate bars to find a golden ticket. Barrymore stated that she will be at WrestleMania 40, and Cena said he's excited for her. Now, Cena has not wrestled since losing to Solo Sikoa at Crown Jewel 2023. I forgot that was a thing. I forgot that was a match. But when I think about the reason this article chapped my ass 100%, I was just like, bruh, there's only 6 words I think that would just, kind of do it for me in terms of how I feel about Cena doing another WrestleMania.
You're done. You're washed. It's over.
Now, would that be considered mean to some? Yes. Do I care? Absolutely not. I personally do not believe that we need to see John Cena at another WrestleMania, period. I don't know why. I mean, especially after what we saw at last year's Mania. Bruh. I'm sorry, fam. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, this, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this was my worst match of the entire weekend. Voted on by me, of course, because I'm the only vote that matters in the YLP realm in terms of, matches of the night and all that stuff. But no, his match against Austin Theory pretty much gave me clearance. I mean, I do not want to see John Cena in another WrestleMania. If that's what we're going to get at WrestleMania, mind you, he already buried Austin Theory weeks prior on the microphone, and I don't think man says that's actually recovered since. Yes, he did retain the United States Championship, but in a sandbag of a match with John Cena. That shit, I'm sorry, that was just a... No. Nope. Want none of that. Nope. I just don't want it. I really just don't. And there's no need for us to have it. Don't get me wrong. John Cena to me kind of reminds me of Tom Brady. Not because they're from the same, not because they played in this, you know, that John Cena's from New England, Tom Brady played in New England and shit. But at the time, a lot of us fans who weren't New England Patriots fans who were enjoying their dynasty run weren't really keen on the Patriots. I'm a Seahawks fan. I actually had to play, you know, I saw them play against, you know, them when the Seahawks were going for back-to-back Super Bowls and they should have just ran the damn ball. But nonetheless, I wasn't as mad about losing to the my squad losing to the Patriots as most other fans of the teams have. But everybody hated Tom Brady for the longest time. Then he went over to Tampa Bay, won a Super Bowl there. People still hate on him. And I think now with John Cena, it was kind of the same thing. For the longest time, for years on end, the whole Super Cena shit, Big Match John shit, all that. We wanted nothing to do with John Cena. We hated John Cena. A lot of us hated John Cena, myself included. And that actually started the night he defeated Rey Mysterio to become the WWE Champion, hours prior to Rey Mysterio defeating Miz in the finals of the tournament to determine the new WWE Champion, and then happened to lose it 2 hours later. But that's a whole other... But we ain't gonna talk about that right now. And so, over time, when you really look back on the career of John Cena, yeah, he had a banger-ass career. Let's not get that twisted. He is going to be a certified Hall of Famer when he does hang up the boots for good. Or the sneakers and the jorts. Nonetheless, I don't think we need John Cena at this WrestleMania. I really don't. Not as a host, not as a in-segment promo talking about him wanting WrestleMania in Paris or some bullshit. Like, come on, fam. It's not needed. It's not needed. John Cena at WrestleMania right now? Seriously? That's what I want? You know what I say to that? We don't need John Cena this year's WrestleMania. We don't. Look at the talent we've got already. All right, look at the talent we've got already on that's going to be on this card, bro. Like, come on. Seriously? There's no need. There's no need for this shit. Like, we already got Io Sky and Bayley. We got Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. We got Gunther, Sami Zayn. We got the Judgment Day defending the world WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championship in a six-pack ladder match. You got Seth Freakin' Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. You got Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You got the Bloodline. Rocking Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Freakin' Rollins. Like, and of course, we're probably going to have what? Jimmy versus Jey Uso. I don't know what they're going to do with Logan Paul yet. In terms of the United States Championship. You know, and what other undercard matches we're going to have. But I don't see any room for John Cena right now at this year's WrestleMania. What are you going to have him do? Go up against Grayson Waller? My apologies. What is the need for John Cena? What should we have him do at WrestleMania 40? I would love to know, honestly. Email, voice message your boy. What would you have John Cena do at WrestleMania 40? What spot do you have for him? Because to me, honestly, I have nothing. Absolutely nothing for him in terms of booking at WrestleMania 40. Nothing. Like, I don't want to be like the, you know, am I the asshole here? But I'm going to be the asshole here. And I'm going to twist it. You know, we love John Cena over here in the YLP realm. We respect him for his career and what he has done. But I'm sorry, WrestleMania 39 kind of took me out from anything for having him in there. What are you going to have him do? We're 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. What would you have him do? What is your plan for Jonathan Chana? For Jonathan Aloysius Benford Chana. Now that those aren't his middle names, we both know that to be true. But seriously, what would you have him do? There is nothing. Don't get me wrong, if John Cena shows up, okay, fantastic, that's cool. I wouldn't even want him as a host. Triple H needs to just let him know, hey fam, listen, Pippin, we ain't got nothing for you, bro. If you want to come hang out backstage and just kick with us at WrestleMania, cool. But in turn, you know, if you want to produce a match, cool. But in terms of what we have for you, we ain't got jack shit for you. That's the guy's honest truth. That is the guy's honest truth. Because seriously, this is a very highly anticipated card. It really is. In the grand scheme of things, this is a very, very highly anticipated card. And a lot of people are looking forward to this WrestleMania. Myself included. This is probably one of the ones that I have been quite excited about in quite some time. It's been rare for me the last few years, if you've been rocking with me since you know, for a hot second. I've just got nothing for him. I've got really nothing for him. As much as I would love to just, you know, elaborate more on that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just like, dude, what the fuck do we need John Cena at WrestleMania for? What do we need him for? We're moving into the future. We're moving into a new era of WWE, and it's not to say you can't bring the old school back, but there is just nothing there for me. Absolutely nothing there for me. Just there isn't. There's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me to honestly believe that they're going to do something with John Cena at WrestleMania 40 at this point in the game with 3 weeks left before WrestleMania, do you honestly believe in your heart of hearts that Triple H really is thinking to himself, I got something lined up for John Cena at WrestleMania? And the answer hopefully would be an emphatic no. No. What do you need him there for? What's the move? What are we doing with him? Who are we going to put him against? Are we going to do, like I said, are we going to do a promo segment where he's talking about WrestleMania in London or Paris or some shit? Like, nah, dude. Nah. I'm good. I'm good on it. Just as much as I said many moons ago, Undertaker should have retired at WrestleMania. You know, when he lost to Roman Reigns. This is not a year where we need John Cena. And I'm sure all those, you know, the Cena fans are going to cry, you know, and give me bullshit and all that. I don't care. With what we've got going on right now and the momentum that WWE has going into WrestleMania 40, John Cena should not be a part of it. Keep waiting for that invite, bro. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I respect John Cena. I respect the career he has had. I respect what he has done for the industry, especially over the last few years, putting over young talent. minus the whole thing with Austin Theory, but that's another story for another day. But and plus, he buried him on the microphone. If you haven't heard that promo, go out of your way and watch that promo. That was a burial. He also buried Roman Reigns too, but that's a whole different story in and of itself too, because he deserved it at the time, of course. I just see nothing for him. I just see nothing for John Cena. As much as I respect John Cena, I see nothing for him, and that's okay. And that's perfectly fine. I know he wants to wrestle until he's like 15 and shit, but you know what? This go around, we see nothing for John Cena. Anywho, let us move on, because I'm pretty much beating around the bush at this point. But let us get into a little bit more news before we get into the fun stuff. Then this one hurt my heart. The hearing about this news hurt my heart a little bit, but I understand why. As we head over to Cultaholic.com, 2024 to potentially be Jim Ross's final year as an announcer. This is from Jack Atkins. The legendary Jim Ross returned to commentary duties at All Elite Wrestling Revolution on March 3rd, with good old JR returning to the booth after several absences due to health concerns in order to call Sting's final match. And he did quite well, may I say. Ross signed a one-year contract extension with AEW in February 2024, but during a recent episode of Grilling JR, Ross revealed he believes it could be his last year as an announcer, saying, quote, "I think so. It's realistic to think that I'm 72 years old. I feel good. I get healthier every day, which is great, but I have to think realistically this could be my last year and more than likely will. It's to be determined. That's between my health and Tony Khan. Right now, it's a good plan because I'm essentially working. As I understand, pay-per-views only. That's where you'll find me, as the plan goes as we speak. As we know, in pro wrestling, things change and could be different. But I don't think so with this occasion. I think it's what I'll be doing, and that's fine with me. I get to go to big shows, call big matches on big shows. Tony Khan has a good feel for what he'd like me to do, and my skill set. Right now, my situation is, I'm going to be married to the pay-per-views. That's good. Maybe it'll help buy rates a little bit. Storytelling will be a little sounder and different." End quote. Of course, JR is a 50-year veteran in the pro wrestling industry, working as a referee in the mid-70s before transitioning full-time into the commentary booth in 1977 in NWA Tri-State Mid-South Wrestling. Ross would go on to call the action for Jim Crockett Promotions, WCW, and most famously WWE, as well as having stints working for New Japan Pro Wrestling's English language broadcast team, which actually was a thing if you had Access TV. I actually like listening to it. I think it was him and Josh Barnett, actually, as a duo. On the show. Actually, they weren't a bad duo, I'm not going to lie. They're actually a solid duo with Barnett calling color commentary, and then Jim Ross calling the action, of course. You know, hearing him say, "Oh, Kata!" You know, "Oh, Kata, Tanahashi!" Okay, let me stop. I can't do a Jim Ross impression to save my life, so we're not going to try it here. Know your limits, kids. But if you can get past them, go as we say. And of course, rest in peace to one Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z. As we learned from Dragon Ball Z, never, ever stick to your limits. Go past them and go further than you ever thought possible. I'll discuss that a little bit later on. Probably somewhere down the line. Because that was a big loss for a lot of us. Anyway, getting back into Jim Ross, though. I found this quite shocking when I found out this news earlier today, as I was getting the last bits of news ready for the podcast for this week. I was quite shocked to think that Jim Ross's last year, maybe this year. This has been crazy, bro. This has just been crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff that's been happening in world professional wrestling over the last couple of years. And like, Sting's gone now. Jim Ross may leave at the end of the year. Like, this is crazy. This is nuts. Absolutely nuts in the world of professional wrestling. But as we know, Father Time is undefeated for a reason. And sometimes you just got to know when it's your time to go. Jim Ross has been a part of my childhood. 1998 was when I really officially got into wrestling. Hogan Goldberg. Atlanta Dome. Now I know that was WCW, but Jim Ross was part of my childhood. Him and Jerry the King Lawler. Jim Ross calling the stories, man. I say, personally, he is one of, if not the best commentators in the professional wrestling business. He was the voice of a generation in terms of the Attitude Era. He was the guy. He was my guy. he was my guy. He's what I grew up on. Him, Tony Schiavone, Bobby Heenan, Mike Tenay, and Jerry the King Lawler. Those five guys were the storytellers of my childhood in terms of professional wrestling. Eric Bischoff, to me, didn't really count for the most part because that was just, you know, what I was, I didn't see much of it. But yeah, those five guys were made up my childhood in terms of professional wrestling. Those five guys. Tenay, Schiavone, Heenan over in WCW, and then Ross and Lawler on WWE. So it's kind of like my childhood is starting to leave me. You know, I mean, granted, I'm 36, so I mean, I've had a good amount of time with Jim Ross. Hearing his voice, being the announcer of the team, and it has just been quite a ride. And I know, like, his health scares over the past couple of years have been rough, but it is just wild to me that Jim Ross is considering hanging up the hat. Us no longer hearing the Oklahoma fight song. Of course, my auntie being from Oklahoma, I'm sure hearing that fight song gives her great joy every once in a while. But it's just wild to think, like, this could be it for Jim Ross. This could be like, it's just wild right now to think, like, you know, we've had so much time with these guys and this is going through their history and them calling some of the biggest matches in the history of professional wrestling. And now we're sitting here like, this could be it. This could be it for us with Jim Ross, man. He has called so many of the biggest matches in WWE history, and it is just going to be, I mean, granted, when he left WWE, even threw me through a freaking loop, dude. Threw me through a damn loop. And then Michael Cole now becomes the face of WWE in terms of announcing, but time goes on. Time goes on. And sometimes you got to know when it's time to hang it up. And if it is his last year, I hope that in 2025, the WWE recognizes his retirement the same way the WWE recognized Sting's retirement and put him in the Hall of Fame. He is a certified Hall of Famer in my eyes, hands down, without question. He would be a Hall of Famer in any company that has a Hall of Fame. I mean, it would be foolish of us not to have Jim Ross in the Hall of Fame. It just makes sense. 2025, I don't know where they're going to do it. Like I said, I don't know where they're going to do WrestleMania 41 next, but wherever they have it, Jim Ross should be in the Hall of Fame going into 2025. I think he's earned that. He deserves that. He's one of the best to ever do it in terms of commentary, and he deserves his flowers. So comes hopefully springtime 2025, maybe 2026, depending on where they decide to do, you know, WrestleManias, Jim Ross needs to be in the Hall of Fame. He is a certified Hall of Famer, 100% one of the best to ever do it in the history of professional wrestling. And man, if it's time to call it a career, man, Jim Ross, you already know. It's all love over here on this side of the YLP realm. Let us get into the last bit of news we have this week. And of course, as y'all know, we discussed last week, Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, and I believe there was one other person that is going to be going into the Hall of Fame. I forget. Haku was rumored. I don't know if that's official as of yet, but we got a lot more names that came into the fold this past week. And there were two more names. Actually, three that came about. That came about this week. As we head over to WrestleZone.com for this particular article, two more potential names for the 2024 WWE Hall of Fame. This is from Matt Black. Excuse me. It appears there might be a couple more announcements regarding the 2024 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. This past morning, this was actually on Wednesday when it was announced, Thunderbolt Patterson. I don't know who him is, but maybe we'll talk about him for just a bit. Into the 2024 Hall of Fame. While many people expected this to be the complete class based on the size of classes in recent years, it might not be complete yet. According to Mike Johnson of PW Insider, there is talk that Bray Wyatt and Liam Maivia will round out this year's class of the Hall of Fame. Talks of Maivia, the grandmother of The Rock, were brought up last week by Sean Ross Sapp. This came from a report that stated The Rock has had input in the 2024 class. Of course you did, corporate Rock, you. Leah Maivia was introduced to a new generation of wrestling fans through The Rock's NBC sitcom Young Rock. The show ran for 3 seasons before the being canceled by the network. Oh, shit, I didn't even know that show got canceled. That's crazy. Now, I believe there was news that actually came about for this year's Hall of Fame inductees, and there was a lot of big ones that came out. A lot of big names that came out. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Triple H announced it was on Twitter, as a video on Twitter of the U.S. Express being named into the Hall of Fame. Let me just go over to WrestlingInc.com real quick. I think they have every member of this year's class so far. So as we know, we already know Paul Heyman. He's officially going to be Hall of Fame. I believe he's going to be the headliner since he's going to be in Philly. Bull Nakano officially going to be in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, retiring from injuries and only 29, which is crazy. But she's a professional golfer. Although, a little bit like her kind. The U.S. Express was the one announced by Triple H. He did a video chat with them. Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. Of course, being the uncle and father of the late Bray Wyatt, which is crazy. Of course, former United States Tag Team Champions 4 times over. WWE Tag Team Champions in 1984 and 1985. It's crazy. And then Thunderbolt Patterson, which was the first one, was a major name, a 30-year veteran in the game. Becoming world champion in Memphis, Florida, and Kentucky. Television champion in Georgia. Won a tag title in Georgia, California, and the Mid-Atlantic. But perhaps his biggest contributions to wrestling is what he did outside of the ring as he fought racial discrimination during the 70s and even campaigned to form a wrestler's union, which Patterson later claimed led him being blackballed for several years. Yes, I remember this article, which was crazy when I first heard about it. And now knowing that possibly the grandmama of The Rock, Leah Maivia, and Bray Wyatt. I was talking about this with my boys in our Instagram group chat earlier today when they made the announcement. And a lot of people, I think, were clamoring for Bray Wyatt to be a Hall of Famer. And I personally believe he is, even though he didn't have a long career and didn't have the craziest career. He was a character like none other. A character like none other. And one that is sorely going to be missed. And I think some people will say one of the biggest missed booking opportunities in WWE's history. And I would say that to be 100% true. Bray Wyatt. Now think about it. The uncle and father of Bray Wyatt and Bray Wyatt are going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. It's crazy. And I personally hope either JoJo Offerman, the widow of Bray Wyatt, or Mike Rotunda himself. And you know what? Bo Dallas needs to be there too. To induct their son, brother, husband into the Hall of Fame. I think this should be a family affair. Bo Dallas there. Liv Morgan can stand with them since they are married and they go together. JoJo Offerman needs to be there with the kids. Mike Rotunda needs to be there. The entire Wyatt family, pretty much. Have Alexa Bliss there and all of it. All the pomp and circumstance. And to have his father go in with him, I think is going to be one of the biggest moments of that family's day. Of their life. As they get to honor Rotunda's son, Bo Dallas's brother, and JoJo's husband. I think that is going to be a big one. I believe it's official now that Bray Wyatt is going to be going into the Hall of Fame. Thunderbolt Patterson was one I didn't know, but when I read about his story and how he was getting blackballed with trying to form a wrestler's union and facing racial discrimination in the 70s, of course, myself, I'm a biracial dude, half black, half white, but I'm black to the rest of the world until I tell you I'm white. When it comes to racial discrimination, especially in professional wrestling, I can understand, how big of an impact that is. And I know, and of course, we can make the joke that, yes, he tried to form a wrestler's union way before Zelina Vega wanted to, but that's all a different story for another day. Big deal. Plus, he's got a dope-ass afro. And he looks like one of the dudes from Soul Train. But it's a big thing. It is a big deal. And I think, and I was reading something earlier about the rule that Vince McMahon had. He wanted to make sure that he had at least one woman and one African-American in the Hall of Fame, and Triple H is retaining that rule, as we can see, for this year. Because they are part, because it's part of history. Now shut the fuck up. And plus, it is also Women's History Month, so let's make sure, you know, we add Bull Nakano in there. And Bull Nakano's a fucking beast, bruh. But then, we heard the announcement this past week. Muhammad Ali, the greatest, is going to be going into the Hall of Fame as a 2024 inductee. This one threw me through a fucking loop. So let's get into this article from Hamish Word, shall we? WWE. Dang, I almost fucked up my new smartwatch. Anyway, I've announced boxing legend Muhammad Ali is the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. What is this? I don't care. No, I'm not reading news on about Booker T and CM Punk having, you know, a possible spat in NXT. I don't give a shit. WWE have announced boxing legend Muhammad Ali is the next inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. Initially reported by Variety, WWE has announced that the sporting icon is the latest name to be honored by the WWE. Ali was one of the most famous sportsmen in the world during his life, with billions of people across the world knowing him for his exploits in the ring. However, it was his trash talking that really endeared him to the public. The fighter could beat his opponent before the bell rang. His rhymes, jabs, and jibes, whatever, made him a must-watch figure, much like a modern-day WWE superstar. His fights against Joe Frazier, of course, the Rumble in the Jungle, and George Foreman defined boxing for a generation. Also, however, he also spent time inside the wrestling ring. The All-American boxer, who was born Cassius Clay, wrestled against former fellow WWE Hall of Famer Antonio Inoki in a match that some have claimed drew over a billion viewers. This bout took place at the Nippon Budokan Arena in Tokyo, Japan, and it was billed as the War of the Worlds. The former World Heavyweight Champion was seen as an all-time great in sports. He famously tossed his Olympic gold medal away in protest of segregation before being honored years later at Atlanta 1996. The first WrestleMania was also one of the most star-studded events in wrestling history, from Cyndi Lauper to Mr. T to Liberace. It was a who's who of celebrity royalty. However, none shone brighter than Muhammad Ali. The former boxer was retired by that point and was recruited by Vince McMahon as a special guest referee for the main event. At the event, he helped take charge of Mr. T and Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper. While he did not wrestle at all, he did get a good right hand in on Piper, which helped restore order to the bout. Now, sadly, he passed away on June 3rd, 2016 at 74, but he inspired numerous WWE superstars. The Rock took his People's Champion moniker from Ali, and his pre-fight interviews definitely inspired multiple wrestlers' promos. Of course, he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Friday, April 5th, 2024. Wow. I was shocked to hear about this. Now, for some of you that may not know, I love boxing. Now, I don't like to say the boxing that boxing is currently in, but you can catch me on a random Saturday night as a young lad watching, you know, the old fights. I'm talking about the Oscar De La Hoya's, the early Floyd Mayweather's, the Bernard Hopkins, you know, the Lennox Lewis's, the Haseem Rahman, even before he got Rahman, all those. You know, what was the one of the feuds? Fernando Vargas's, you know, seeing, who else? Dang, Marco Antonio Barrera, Kelly Pavlik, Jermaine Taylor, Sugar Shane Mosley, all those cats, bro. Morales, Barrera, Osiro Gotti, Gotti Ward, 1, 2, and 3, all three were fucking bangers. You know, Frank Bruno, Mike Tyson. I lived through all that. That's my era. Okay? But Muhammad Ali was one of my favorite boxers of all time because he can cut a promo. Muhammad Ali was a certified promo machine. You know what I'm saying? He's a damn good promo and was a damn good boxer. One of the best to ever do it in the game. And also, I mean, unfortunately, he got, you know, smoked by Trevor Burbick and went into retirement. But then Mike Tyson gave him the business as a means to ensure that Burbick never got that championship ever again. But yeah, dude, like Muhammad Ali is that dude. Muhammad Ali is one of the best of all time, if not the greatest boxer of all time to some. Some would, of course, make the argument for a lot more. That's just me, though. I think he is number one on my list in terms of boxers of all time. He was just one of the best, man. Could go in the ring, and when it was 15-round fights, none of that, you know, 12-round, 10-round, 12-round nonsense. They went 15 old-school style. but 12 is better, though. 12 is, for championship bouts, 12 is, you know, a lot better. But seriously, Ali going into the Hall of Fame was a big shock. I mean, you already had Paul Heyman, right? You got Bull Nakano. You got possibly Bray Wyatt, the U.S. Express of Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. You've got possibly Leah Maivia, the grandma of The Rock, going into the Hall of Fame. Thunderbolt Patterson, which to me is a dope-ass fucking wrestler name, especially for the 70s, man. That's a dope name. And now you got Muhammad Ali. People are, I mean, this is probably going to be, I'm sure this can make an argument for, this is probably going to be one of the best Hall of Fame classes ever. You got the man who created ECW and brought it to cult prominence. You got one of the greatest boxers, if not the greatest boxer of all time, in Muhammad Ali. You got Bray Wyatt, who was a big fan favorite. You've got Bull Nakano, one of the greatest women wrestlers of all time. The grandma of Lee of The Rock, bruv. And you have Muhammad Ali in Philly. It's an amazing class. This is a damn good class. I'm not sure if it was talked about on Kings of the Rings. I'm not sure if it was talked about on WrestleMania. I'm not sure if it was talked about on Brace for Impact. Excuse me. But I will say, this is a fantastic class. An insane class. Like, imagine who's going to be inducting Paul Heyman. I believe Ali's wife will be inducting him into the Hall of Fame. Bray Wyatt, it could be JoJo Offerman, could be Bo Dallas, could be, you know, Mike Rotunda himself, Barry Windham, all that. Like, it is a very, very big, a very, very solid class. This is a solid class. You know what I'm saying? And then think about what, you know, Jim Ross possibly headlining next year. That's crazy. This is a big class. Muhammad Ali, like, it's insane to me. Like, here's a funny side note before we head out for the week. When I found out about Muhammad Ali going into the WWE Hall of Fame for 2024, my first thought was, what in the fuck did he do to get into the Hall of Fame? I'm not lying. I swear I was lying. My brain, my wrestling history knowledge just shut off for about 15 minutes. And I'm just like, wait, what the fuck did he do to get himself into the Hall of Fame? And then I read the article. I'm like, oh, wow. I can't believe I didn't fucking remember that. It happens to the best of us. But I completely forgot he was the special guest referee of the main event of WrestleMania 1. And landed a right hand on Piper. I remember that shit. So, like, I was just like, what? And then I'm thinking, like, wait, he's in the same class as Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano. What? Dude. So, yeah, man, congratulations to Muhammad Ali posthumously going into the Hall of Fame. Hopefully, the Bray Wyatt news, as far as I know, the Bray Wyatt news is legitimately official, although I don't think WWE has really announced it yet. Leah Maivia, the grandmother of The Rock. Thunderbolt Patterson is official. He is going to be going into the Hall of Fame. US Express officially going into the Hall of Fame, as we saw, like I said, on the WWE's Twitter page with the video of Triple H talking to Windham and Rotunda. Announcing that they're going to be going in as a tag team. This class is star-studded. This class is probably one of the best. I can't remember any of the years prior, but this is a damn good class. And we all know Paul Heyman's going to be headlining the show, but damn, man, this class is nice. This is a solid class. And maybe, just maybe, I may watch the WWE Hall of Fame this year because I really do want to see the Heyman speech. This go around. Although for the memes, Roman Reigns should induct him for the memes. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude episode 383 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 384 of the YLP podcast. We'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 383 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 382 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit your boy up with a nice little voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective. You can also hit me up with a nice little email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast in terms of social media, and my apologies for not being up to date with everything that's going on, my apologies, we'll get back into the fold. You can find me over on Twitter at YL Perspective, that's capital YLP Perspective, and you can find me over on Instagram at young_lions_perspective. Follow me on those platforms, stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. Of course, you can find this podcast, of course, on Spotify, Google Podcast, until April 2nd, of course, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and everywhere else you listen to podcast. Guys, of course, before we head out for this week, I do want to send my condolences to the Toriyama family. We found out this past week that Akira Toriyama, the creator and everything that is Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, passed away. And for me, this was a big loss for a lot of us, because Dragon Ball Z kind of was like Dragon Ball, even back in the day. I watched that when I was a young in middle school, and that was like one of my routines. Get home from school, do homework, and watch Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, actually. And man, the amount of the impact that this man actually had in our lives, I don't think we actually understand the true capacity of impact he had in all of our lives. I remember watching the Chiseled Adonis, this video, this past week, as he discussed the passing of Toriyama-san, and discussing his, you know, how it affected him. But we learned so much from Dragon Ball Z. We learned courage, we learned perseverance, we learned discipline, we learned, you know, a lot of things. A lot of lessons can be taken away from Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And finding out about his passing really affected me a bit. When I found out the news, I kind of choked up a little bit. Didn't have a full-on cry or anything like that, but I did get choked up a little bit, because knowing that, you know, he was a fashionista, had a very, very big affinity for tracksuits, as you can see his influence poured into the entire series, but learning the lessons that we learned, the memes that we got from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball, I mean, there's so much. And it really inspired an entire generation of people. I remember seeing videos of Mexico City kind of shutting things down and having people watch the DBZ, the Tournament of Power, and fans getting behind that. I think the cartels even were just like, we fuck with Dragon Ball Z too. Like, when you got Mexican cartel people actually fucking with DBZ, you know it's global. Like, this was a big deal for a lot of us. I have a DBZ shirt in my closet. One of my favorite shirts to wear when I go to the gym. We've all attempted to, you know, become Super Saiyan. We've all tried doing the fusion dance. We try to do all that. The influence has spread throughout, not just professional wrestling, but the entirety of, like I said, an entire generation. Myself included, I will always remember the Cell games, the Majin Buu, the battles against Frieza, when young Goku was, you know, defeating the Red Ribbon Army by himself as a child. Like, it was the story of Vegeta, the story of Trunks, how much of a Yamcha was still a little bitch. Piccolo, like, all these cats, bro. Krillin, all of that. Man, it was just, it is one of the best animes in the history of animes. And I saw a comment underneath the Chiseled Adonis' videos, like, he was the modern day anime. He was the modern day influence on anime. And I couldn't agree more with that statement. It's a big deal. And, you know, on behalf of the the Wrestling Radio family, of course, this is not being professional wrestling related at all. My condolences do go out to the Toriyama family and the entire family of Dragon Ball Z who helped create this. As far as we know, the story will continue. I believe DBZ 2 is going to be coming out sometime in 2024, maybe 2025. But they're going to continue the story and still try to do it under the influence of Toriyama and how he would want to tell the story. It, like I said, he was a big part of my, you know, young teenage years. And we learned a lot from Toriyama-san. And so on behalf of the WrestleLadic Radio family, my condolences go out to the Toriyama family, to the entire DBZ family. We are going to miss you, Toriyama-san, and we will never forget how big of an impact you truly had on this entire world. Yeah, man. Big time things. And so we'll sign off on that, and we'll leave it at that. So, guys, next week, of course, more news of the week. We're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania season, so I'm hoping to get more WrestleMania news out as much as I possibly can. If there are any other inductees for this year's Hall of Fame class, I will let you guys know. But I think we're pretty much rounding it all out. Of course, I'll be setting it up for April 5th's date for the Hall of Fame. Nonetheless, though, that's what we're going to be hitting on next week. As far as I know, the week after that, March 30th, we're going to probably be doing our WrestleMania preview and predictions then, because I'm not trying to do it, you know, during WrestleMania weekend. I want to enjoy WrestleMania weekend and give you all the news that's fit for me to talk about that particular week. So that's what's going to be going on the next couple of weeks. So be looking forward to that. News of the week next week, preview and predictions for WrestleMania 40 on March 30th. That's going to be a wild one. It's going to be a great couple of weeks, guys. Other than that, guys, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. If you're going to be going out, especially, well, it's besides the state of Colorado, drink responsibly, enjoy yourselves, drink one for your boy as always. And yeah, if you're going to be going out and do some, you know, foolishness, make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home. Don't want to deal with five-figure, you know, lawyer fees and court costs and all that stuff. And that's how we get down with the get down. Other than that, enjoy the remainder of your weekend in true YLP fashion. Have a fantastic week as best as you possibly can. I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 384 of the YLP podcast. See you.
This has been a WrestleAddict Radio branded podcast.